During my recent visit to Korea, I did have some opportunities to minister to different congregations with God's Word. In particular, I preached two messages from 2 Peter chapter 1, and I thought there is a continuing kind of a chain of thoughts coming into my mind, so I thought I'd better share some of those matters with you as well. So when I was delivering two messages from 2 Peter chapter 1, I preached about the foundation of a Christian conviction or Christian religion. If we are building our Christian conviction and faith, there has to be a solid foundation. And this foundation does have a very important two elements in it. And I said that they are faith and knowledge based on verses 1 to 4. Then my second message I delivered was about the end result or end goal or objective of Christian growth on the right foundation, which is conformed to the image of Christ or character growth or maturity. In other words, if we have a right foundation for our religion, for our faith, then we will continue to grow. And the end result of our continuing growth in Christ Jesus is none other than our character growth. We will be better people. Thus we grow in sanctification from faith to virtue, knowledge, temperance, which means self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, which is love. You can find all of these things in chapter 1, verses 5 to probably 7. In verses 8 to 9, these verses say that any professing Christian without such Christian character, quality, is nothing but an unfruitful person in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even though someone may know a lot of scripture references, even though someone may be able to even recite the whole scriptures from their memory purely only, if he does not have Christian character quality, he is unfruitful in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Besides, in spiritual reality, in fact, in verse 9 says he's a blind. He cannot see afar off. So if such a person becomes a teacher and leader in Christian churches, he's going to lead other people into the pit together because he himself is a blind. He's like a person who has forgotten that he was purged from his sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what verse 9 says. So Christian character qualities are deeply related to our genuineness of faith and spiritual growth and maturity. It indicates that spiritual maturity in Christianity really does not have anything to do with the duration of individuals' association with Christian churches. So it doesn't matter how long you have been in Christian churches, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60 years, if you have not been able to have a proper Christian character qualities in you, you are still an infant. You are babies. You have not grown up, and there are deformities in your spiritual life. An unchangeable truth is that in spiritual maturity, the first could be the last, and the last could be the first. It is possible that some people have remained in spiritual infancy, though they professed Christ as their personal Savior many decades ago, while much younger Christians are spiritually more mature than they. Therefore, when we measure of our faith and spirituality, we ought to seriously evaluate and measure our character qualities. Character qualities. That is what 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 indicates. Are we loving? Are we kind? Are we gentle? Are we godly? Are we patient? Are we controlling ourselves? Are we knowledgeable? Are we virtuous? The church office we are holding on to does not necessarily reflect our spiritual maturity either. Our spiritual power comes from our Christ-like character, which has been deeply neglected, too much neglected for so long by so many believers of Christ. It is another reason why we cannot easily find spiritually mature people in the believers' community. We have met many people who are proud of their abilities in the services, the amount of prayers they habitually make, strong commitments to various church ministries, and making financial contributions to various ministries and causes, or giving themselves to evangelistic efforts outstandingly. There are fluent speakers and excellent Bible teachers. However, have you ever met anyone who is like Jesus? Have you ever met any person like Jesus? When you talk to him, you cannot but feel that there is the image of Christ in him. Frankly speaking, we are living in the era of the absence of such shiny people for the Lord. There are many good performers, but only a few of Christ-like people. This particular problem leads us to consider the truth of the Scriptures. We need Scriptures to guide us and help us grow in Christian character, which is the will of God. There are a lot of wonderful and eloquent talkers in Christian churches, but in fact, there are not too many good characters with good qualities. That makes our confession of faith quite sometimes meaningless. I'm going to address this issue through 2 to 3 messages, including this one. If I cannot complete it within 2 to 3 messages, I may have to just make a couple more out of this. I really want to share with you verses 5 to 11, and probably I'll go back to that passage later on. First of all, let me begin with the necessity to consider our characters. Why? You know, when have you heard about the message concerning Christian character? We have been hearing the messages about prayer, evangelism, giving, and, you know, thanksgiving, and all of those things. But when was the last time you heard about Christian character? Some of us may think that there is no direct relationship between Christian character and spiritual maturity, or between Christian character and the Scriptures. However, first of all, we need to understand that our spiritual growth and character development are Peter's concerns in the inspired text today. We can know of it by reading 2 Peter chapter 1 and see the progressions in Peter's thoughts. He begins with faith and knowledge as the foundation of Christian religion. Then he mentions of the growth of Christian faith, which is shown in Christian character. And then finally, he talks about the means God has ordained for us to use to attain to our sanctified character, which is the Bible. So the rest of 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks of the Bible as tools or instruments God has appointed for our use in order to help us grow in Christian character. We also can understand that having the Bible as a means of our sanctification or holiness or nobler character, it is our duty and responsibility to grow into sanctification or good character abilities or qualities. It is our duty and responsibility. At that part, we need to dwell on it a little bit. The Lord says both in the Old Testament and New Testament that we must be holy because He's holy. It is a command. Be holy because I am holy, for I am holy. Sanctification, being holy, is the will of God towards us. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about. We are not to be passive in character growth. We just say to God, God, make me holy, then tomorrow still the same. Or we may go back to the worst condition. That is not enough. God's grace is sufficient to us, and we are required to grow. Negatively speaking, we will not attain to be holy by praying hard only, as if it is God's duty. Positively speaking, we are accountable for our character growth and character qualities. I personally think that the greatest problem among Christian churches and professing believers who consider themselves as spiritual is their character problem. I have seen a lot of churches divided and split. not necessarily doctrine or biblical convictions, but most of the times it's a character divisions and character problems, personality issues. I have seen energetic and very active Christians in church who are backbiters, accusers of brethren, gossipers, liars, immoral ones, abusers of others, manipulators, unkind to others, not hospitable, and so on. The list is just endless. From a different angle, there are long-time Christians who are not holy. Their words, manners, behaviors, motives, methods they use to achieve their goals, heart desires and intentions are not sacred, not holy at all. I'm not just talking this for someone else. I'm talking about you and me. We are accountable for all of these sinful and unholy traits in our inclinations and dispositions, in our behaviors and actions. We must not think it strange that our character growth and spiritual growth is our duty. It's our duty. The well-known verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The word here, grow, is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is not just an implied idea. It is a command. It is a present in the present tense, which means it has a continual action. Active voice and imperative mood, which means that it is a continuing command. We have to continue to grow. That is our duty. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 say this. Maybe you may want to read this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Let us read those verses together, shall we? "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Amen. Here it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is referring to moral energy, moral excellence. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance means self-control. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. The verb in verse 5 is add. That is the main verb in verses 5 to 7. And it is also a commanding word. It is a command, imperative mood. In other words, it is the believer's duty to supply virtue, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love to themselves. That is believer's duty and responsibility. So in other words, if you have not been a good character in Christ Jesus, one thing that I can tell you is that it is your responsibility. You are accountable for it. I like what Abraham Lincoln said about character. He said, in quote, "Character is like a tree, and reputation, it's a shadow. The shadow is what we think it is, and the tree is the real thing." Quite often I find people believing in their shadows without seeing their characters, the true trees. As we grow older, and as we believe and serve the Lord more, so our character grows, we hope. However, it does not happen naturally. We are responsible for our characters. It is because we cannot borrow someone else's characters. Only actors can play up other characters on the stage. Secondly, we need to see that our spiritual growth and character development are Peter's utmost concern. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15 says this. Verse 12, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Here, Paul wants us to be concerned about our character. In verse 13, Peter wants us to remember these things. And what are these things? These things are the ones who has mentioned in the previous passage, all of those believers' character qualities. And character development, character quality was Peter's utmost concern for the believers. This is my concern, that a lot of professing Christians' concern for character is at the bottom of their priority list. They want something else. Peter said in verse 13, as long as I am in this tabernacle. The tabernacle means his body. Verse 14 says, shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. In other words, he's going to depart from this body. It appears that the Lord let him know of his coming death. And while he was preparing himself for the time of departure into eternity, Peter wrote this letter to the believers. It is reflecting his last concern for the believers. The purpose of writing his letter is rather simple. Verse 15 says, ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. The reason that he wanted to write this was because he wanted to let them remember what he had taught them concerning Christian character. Therefore, probably this is his wish for us today as well. This was his earnest plea even at the time of his near death. Peter puts his efforts into teaching and reminding the believers of the importance of character and spiritual growth. He takes it as his mission to teach them about quality character. In verse 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And interestingly, ESV translates it as these qualities. I'm not saying that ESV is a better translation. In fact, there is no word qualities in the Greek text. But it is assumed, it is understood, it is interpreted in this way. So, I want you to remember these things. When he says it, it means that I want you to remember these qualities you ought to have in your character. That is the meaning of it. It was the focus of his ministry to teach the believers to have good and mature qualities in their character. How often you feel weary when you meet up with someone who is able to talk about the Lord Jesus, but in such a bad character. There is a sour feeling behind it. Sick and tired of such people who are talking about the Lord Jesus gloriously, but in heart, manner of life, so bad and naughty. Believers ought to have good character qualities, as mentioned in the previous passage. And Peter's concerns give us at least three lessons. First lesson is this: we have to have a right focus for spiritual maturity. When we are talking about spiritual maturity, it must refer to character growth with all the qualities Peter has talked about. Do you think Christian churches are being reprimanded and accused in the world because of Christian messages that Christian churches are delivering to the world? I do not think so. The reason that the world does not like Christian churches and Christians is because of their behaviors, because of their characters. Peter's concern, secondly, is not new to us at all, but known to us. Verse 12b says, though ye know them. So we also know the importance and significance of Christian character. We all know that character is important to believers. Good character really matters to God. So this is not a brand new lesson at all. And third lesson is this: we ought to make a conscious effort to grow in character. We must put our efforts into it. That is why Peter says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. eloquence in preaching and teaching, good singing and musical skills for music ministry, great social skills and communication skills to make friends so easily so that people feel comfortable with them immediately, or eagerness and enthusiasm for evangelism, much prayers, active visitation ministry, and exceptionally hospitable attitude and manner of life are all good traits we must have, and all of them must be the signs of good character. I cannot imagine what damage a man of great talents and gifts without good character will make to the body of believers. Think about a person with great teaching skills in all Bible classes, but bad character. It is a common case that good Christian communities are ruined by excellent people with bad characters. Peter cautions us to grow in character. Bad character is a fruit of our negligence. You and I are responsible for our character. Those ones who have been married for a long period of time, many years, what is the best quality you want to find from your spouses? Assuming that they are Christians, character. They may be excellent prayer sayers. They may be wonderful helpers to the various ministries. But if they are very, very bad characters, you can imagine what kind of things are happening at homes. Character. Good character pastors, good character elders, good character deacons. That's why it is important for us to consider the character issue. Then in order to grow, there must be a means that God has given to us for our character growth. 2 Peter 1, 15 to 21 tells us of the means God has appointed for our use to grow into spiritual maturity. There are two things mentioned by Peter. One is eyewitness of the Lord's majesty. So at the Mount of Transfiguration, he was able to see the glory of the Lord, eyewitness of the Lord's majesty and glory, and the inspired word of God, the scriptures. At this point, I need to break and completely demolish your complacent mindset about the scriptures. Most professing Christians think that the end result of spiritual maturity is to have power to repeat apostolic gifts, exceptionally powerful and effectual prayers, authoritative preaching and Bible teaching, effective ministry of evangelism, material prosperity, or spectacular gifts of making prophetic utterances. We have seen that it is not true. Such things were not matters of concerns for Peter at all. The end result of our following our Savior is character maturity, and the means God has appointed for the purpose of our spiritual and character growth is His Word, His revelation, the Scriptures. I hope that none of us considers it as a small or minor matter. Spiritual maturity comes not by years we spent in church, but by Scriptures molding our character. Does not come by purely scriptural knowledge alone, because there are people who know the scriptures but who have not been molded by the scriptures. It is a very bad reality that some of professing believers are very lukewarm toward the scriptures. There is no craving for the scriptures. Some of them even attempt to replace the Bible with something else, including various services and ministries. They may busily serving. In such cases, in fact, those busily serving activities are the hindrances to their spiritual growth and character growth. Or some people simply do not care about the Bible. Thus, they neither study the Bible nor meditate upon it. There are signs or outcomes we find when we have neglected spiritual growth in the scriptures. Let me share with you some of those signs or outcomes you may experience when you failed to grow in the scriptures. Number one, we may become truly skillful and professional in church services and ministries, but our spirit is ever thirsty and hungry for something else. There is constant emptiness inside and do not know of our spiritual standing. In such a state, we could be either extremely passive or overly active in our religious activities and performances, if not even some sort of spiritual activities. Second, our Christian testimonies as believers are not edifying ourselves at all. And not only our testimonies do not edify ourselves, but also others are not being edified by our testimonies. People may feel uncomfortable to be around us because our character is aggressive, provocative, overly sensitive, or easily offensive. Third, we even may feel disillusioned of our own spiritual life and even our Christian religion. We become very pessimistic about our spirituality and spiritual life, though externally we might devote ourselves to church ministries continually. We even could feel that we have been deserted by God. Where is God, whom I think I love? Fourth, we may cling to something that gives us a sense of a spiritual journey. However, this clinging is not healthy, but offers us some temporary false relief. We may be obsessive in our clings as if it is our spiritual lifeline. Thus, we could be religious, but do not have spiritual health. We think that we are really passionate for the Lord's work, and at the same time, we are wondering why we suffer with a spiritual drought, and God appears to be so distant and far away from us. Five, we become judgmental more and more. It is very simple why. We have been feeding ourselves with our own thoughts, our own emotions only for so many years. We have not been guided and trained by God's word. Thus, we are feeding ourselves with our own pessimistic, those are depressing thoughts. We think that though we are not perfect, we are better than others based on our own judgment. Thus, what others are doing is not good enough to our eyes. So there are plenty of things of which we can criticize others. Thus, this attitude may lead us even to think that God is not fair. I have been so faithful. I have been doing my very best to serve Him. Why is He not kind to me, though I am spiritual? We misunderstand our spiritual standing and condition before God. Sickly, or we could become indifferent to spiritual matters. It is because we have not been taught and challenged by the Word of God. We are entrenched, literally we are entrenched in our own longings and wills, which will lead us to spiritual indifference. Then, secondly, there are causes that produce such outcomes. And the Bible offers us with solutions for those issues. Many of our questions could be answered by John chapter 6, verse 63. May I ask you to turn to your Bibles to John 6, 63. Let us read it together. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Here, the Spirit brings life to the dead. And as for the believers, the words of Jesus are the Spirit, and the Spirit gives them life. So, in other words, if we rephrase this particular statement, according to John, being spiritual is not different from being biblical. Because what Jesus says, the Word is the Spirit. Therefore, anyone who has been indifferent to the Word of God cannot but experience the inner emptiness, feelings of spiritual desertion, self-centered judgmental attitude, unhappy Christian life, passionate but not delightful services or even spiritual depression. Because life, the means, the channel of the life that must be given to us is the Word. God has given us a means for spiritual revival and strength, which is His own Word. And if we go further, we cannot but meditate upon Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I will ask you again to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is a very well-known passage concerning the work of God's Word. Okay, let's read it together. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. The ones who think that Bible studies are just boring, so tedious, so much indifference they have in their hearts toward the Word of God. There is no craving for it. Well, they must consider this verse truly and carefully if they truly believe the Bible is God's Word. Because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us about the work of the Word of God in us. What it says is that if the Word of God is working in anybody's heart and soul, he cannot but respond to it. How do I know it? Otherwise, Hebrews 4:12 is a false claim. If we agree that Hebrews 4:12 cannot be false, then the problem lies in our hearts. How could it be possible that the Word of God, which is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, cannot do anything to our souls? If something is pricking into our souls, how can we not respond to it? Wow. How could it be possible that the hearers of God's Word truly cannot but be changed and do something for the Lord's glory if their hearts are being cut and pricked by the sharpest sword? How could they stand still and do not feel anything? So week after week they are just sitting on the pews, listening to the preaching of God's Word, reading the scriptures, but nothing is going on in their hearts and souls. What's wrong with us? It's not the problem with God's Word, because God's Word has power. The problem lies in us. We either do not have ears to hear, or we are completely stubborn and disobedient to the Word. We need to examine our spiritual life if it is in accordance with the works of the Word of God. Have you ever been touched, pricked, cut by the sharpest sword to your souls? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. This is also a very well-known passage of the scriptures about the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We will read it together. Let's read it together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. The Word of God increases our knowledge of His will, and it also rebukes our wrongs, and it corrects our faults, and it instructs us in righteousness, and it prepares us to do good works. So that's the work of God's Word. So, if you have not increased your knowledge of God's will, even though you have read the scriptures, you have not been rebuked for your wrongs so that you have not repented of your sins, if you have not been corrected for your faults, even though the scripture constantly reminds you about your faults, and if you have not been instructed in righteousness, and you are not thoroughly prepared, furnished to the good works, then your spiritual maturity is suffering somewhere. Our spiritual maturity is supposed to be demonstrated in all of these areas. The ones who are not instructed by God's word are becoming victims of their own circular reasoning, because this circular reasoning has to be cut off somewhere, and then the word of God has to correct all of us and edify us. However, circular reasoning is constantly feeding us. You are not too bad, or you are too bad, etc. So, all those things. Then we cannot get out of our own sinful thoughts. We are bound by ourselves, even though we are worshiping God. We do not learn to be corrected. And so then we know that we are the causes of our lukewarm, immature, indifferent, or grumbling spiritual life. The Lord taught us that there are four kinds of soils to receive the seed of God's word in one of the parables. However, there are basically two kinds of soils, and one soil is fruitful, the other soil is unfruitful. When the Lord preached on earth, there were two kinds of people. One believed and responded to his word, and the other did not. Even today, what I'm going to say will be beneficial to some, while it will not mean anything to some people. That is simply a fact of the matter. How you and I are responding to the word of God is not a small matter to our spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, character maturity. The point I have been trying to make so far is applicable to all professing believers in church. However, the necessity of God's word is not just for the benefits of the believers only, but for the whole society in general. And I think I'm going to deal with that point in my next message next week. We must not go to the next point without making a few applications. First of all, we should not neglect our spiritual duties to learn, study, and meditate upon the Word of God. There are plenty of opportunities to study the Bible, and we should not let them pass by. Even though you have opportunities, and you can respond to those opportunities if you have passed them by, I want you to know that you are not doing well. You are losing opportunities. Secondly, we must let God's word speak to our hearts. Bible study is not just for more knowledge in our head. And by letting God's word speak to our hearts, we learn to correct our wrongs and grow into sanctification. We can be better people, and our truly character qualities will be improved. Thirdly, we must be eager to hear God's word. There has to be eagerness, and there has to be determination to study the scriptures, determination to study the Bible. And I think many times I shared shared the story about one person I met many years ago in Pensacola, Florida. And he was a scientist, and he was working for U.S. Navy, and he was a deacon of his Baptist, Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. And he said he met the Lord when he was 19 years old. And since then, he made up his mind to study the Word of God diligently. And by all means, he's not going to lose opportunities to hear God's Word. So he was determined to do it. So he said, on Wednesday night for prayer meeting and Bible study, I'm determined to go. So I do not have to think about it on the spot on Wednesday afternoon, when my work is about to be over, whether I'm going to go to the Bible study or not. If I have to make a decision for such a matter, at the spot, on the spot, a wintry, maybe very cold weather, outside the winter, rain is coming, and I'm hungry, and all day long I worked really hard and very tired. If I have to make a decision on the spot, probably 99% I'm not going to go. But I'm determined to go. So since Jesus Christ came into my heart, I have never missed the Bible study intentionally. There are certain circumstances I could not do, but otherwise, I have kept my promise before God. It is no wonder that he was used as a Bible teacher for one of those Sunday school, adult Sunday school classes. And I was sitting in his class and listening to his Bible studies while I was doing my PhD. And I was deeply touched and deeply moved. I wonder who amongst us in Hope Church will be a man of God and woman of God like that. We must be eager to hear God's word. The greatest judgment of God was, is, and is to come is not to give his word to his people. God was silent to his own children, the children of Israel, until he called Moses. There was a time when God was silent, like the days of Eli, until Samuel was called. We know that there was a silence of God for 400 years from the prophet Malachi to John the Baptist. If the Lord seems to be silent to us, even though we hear God's word week after week, month after month, and year after year, we ought to see inside of us if we are not disobedient to him and have hardened our hearts. Maybe we do not have ears to hear the blessed word of God. As a result, though we hear, we do not hear. And also we should discipline our spiritual life by craving more of God's word. The more and deeper searches into the scriptures we will have, the more and greater blessings we will experience from God's word. These learnings will bear fruits in our lives and make us conform to the image of Christ. It has saddened my heart to see that some people think differently. Some people even think that I, a preacher of God's word, should not study too much because my messages are too hard for them. And some years ago, I was preparing a lesson for a New Testament introduction course for graduate class, for teaching, lecturing. And I used J. Gresham Machen's New Testament introduction as my text, and as my kind of basic material for my own personal studies to prepare for the lecture. Then only later on, I found that book was fantastically blessing to my soul. But I realized that that book, in fact, was provided initially to prepare for his Sunday school classes for teenagers in early part of 1900s. How lowered our spiritual understanding of the scripture is. It is no wonder that we cannot find lively and truly spiritually amicable churches today. It is no wonder then that the churches are on the downhill. It doesn't surprise me. I hope it doesn't surprise you either. We must know that to know and understand the Bible is to know and understand Christ. Some people think that repeating the name of Jesus is sufficient for their spiritual life. How sad that is. It is because we must know that to know and understand the Bible is to know and understand Christ. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, 44. Luke 24, 44. Let's read it. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. I want you to know that here he is referring to Jesus Christ, he's risen from the dead. And now he met his two disciples who were going to Emmaus, and he realized these two disciples could not recognize Jesus, the risen Lord, even though they met them on their road. And so Jesus said, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. In other words, before I was crucified, wherever we went to get together, whenever I taught you about myself, I taught you with these words. And he said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. In other words, while Jesus was with his disciples, he taught them about himself through the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And do you know that these are the three divisions of the Old Testament? It talks about Old Testament book, the wholeness of Old Testament. Jesus taught his disciples from the Bible, from the Bible. However, they did not understand him well. Thus, even two disciples could not recognize Jesus when they met the risen Lord on the way of Emmaus. Jesus taught them with the same scriptures. And I want you to read verse 45. I'll read it again. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Jesus wanted them to understand the scriptures, to understand him. Then, you do not have any interest in Bible studies. You do not care for the scriptures. There is no inner craving for the truth of God. Your lives have not been changed. Your lives have not been transformed by the power of the work of God. But you say, I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. What Jesus are you talking about? If you and I really want to understand and know Jesus, we need to understand and know the Bible. That's what Jesus did. So we cannot but use the same methodology in order to know Jesus, whom we believe and love. His teaching manual was none other than the scriptures. I want you to read John 5, verse 39. John 5, verse 39. John 5, 39. John 5, 39. Let's read it together. Search the scriptures, for in them he think the eternal. And they are they which testify of me. Amen. The Lord's command is to search the scriptures because they testify of him. Testimonies and witnesses of Jesus are recorded in the Bible. Therefore, if we want to know Jesus more and more, we must know the scriptures. It is no wonder that there are not many mature characters in Christian churches, because they have not been transformed by the scriptures. If we want to know Jesus more and more, we need to understand, we need to know the Bible, scriptures more and more. Not knowing the scriptures is the same as not knowing Christ, because that's the source of the knowledge of Jesus. We shall know of him by knowing the scriptures. No craving for the scriptures. It means no craving for the person of Jesus. We must strive also to understand the scriptures. It is very obvious because the scripture, there are many hard teachings in the Bible. For example, in John chapter 6, verse 60, it records like this. Many therefore of his disciples of Jesus, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Jesus taught them that he was the bread of life from heaven. They must eat his flesh for eternal life. They felt it very hard to understand, and some of them have left from Jesus. Jesus gradually explained to them of its meaning. Of course it is hard to understand the Bible. I'm studying the scriptures daily basis. But I must confess that there are so many things I do not know. Most of my wife's questions coming from the scriptures while she's reading the scriptures, I cannot answer properly. So she's wondering what I'm doing. There are so many things I do not know. How about you? There are hard sayings in the scriptures. it cannot but be hard to understand with human wisdom alone, because the scriptures are God's word. We are finite and corrupt human beings. That's why the Spirit of God must help us, and at the same time, God called his servants into the teaching and preaching ministries for their purpose too. And we must go into deeper level of understanding the Bible. Understanding of the Bible. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Let's read it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. It means we ought to grow. How long you are remaining on the foundation alone? Again and again you are laying foundations. Today laying foundations. Tomorrow laying foundations. You never build anything upon that foundation. So he says, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And so on. Let us go on to perfection, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. How long are we going to remain in those basics? How long? It means that we need to grow. Indefinite spiritual infancy is found in some professing believers. And sad thing is that if such individuals become deacons and elders and pastors simply because they have been in Christian churches long enough, what a disaster. And that's what we have been seeing these days. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. May I give it to you as a matter of challenge. I hope that you will apply it to your spiritual life even today. Chapter 2, verse 2, let's read it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. Here, sincere milk of the word. That's God's word. It says, as newborn babies desiring. You know, newborn babies are crying for mother's milk. And our spiritual condition must be in the same way. As newborn babies, we are to crave for the sincere milk of the word. It is a fact of a matter that some professing believers simply do not grow. I cannot deny it. And I think I have seen them enough. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, 12. Hebrews 5, 12. Hebrews 5, 12. Let's read it together. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Amen. So some believers, they have been in Christian churches for long enough to be teachers, but still they are babies. They have to be taught with the same thing again and again. They cannot take the strong meat food, but they are craving for only milk. These immature believers' characteristics are found in their desire for spiritual milk and their inability to digest deeper truths of God. It is an inevitable conclusion that spiritual immaturity, character immaturity, is an outcome of lack of understanding and obeying the truth of God. If the Word of God is truly sharper than any two-edged sword, the learners of the scriptures cannot but experience changes and transformations of their characters. It is not because they are good, but it is because God's word is powerful. Then lastly, let me talk about the challenges to all believers. Though I have not been able to look into the whole passage of 2 Peter 1, 12 to 21, I have tried to relate the necessity of our spiritual growth shown in character qualities to the necessity to know and apply the Bible to our spiritual walk with the Lord. The end result of Christian maturity is shown in quality characters, and the means of achieving it is the scriptures. then what challenges should we get out of this lesson? So here is first the challenge. Break the shells of lukewarmness toward the Bible studies. Make up your mind to study the Scriptures. There are stagnant believers among long-time churchgoers. They are neither hot nor cold. They act and behave like Christians, but do not show any sign of passion for the Word of God. They are simply stagnant. Some of them may not even open the Bible for personal devotions at home during weekdays. They are not keen to join Bible studies, and the Bible is just the kind of stuff that Christians must carry with them to go to church on Sundays. Bible study is not in their priority list or matter of concern at all. As Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 says, toward the church of the Laodiceans, they do not know that they are wretched, they are miserable, they are poor, they are blind, and they are naked. Break that fetter of lukewarmness toward the Scriptures. Secondly, pray for spiritual renewal. When God's Word is taught and preached, it cannot but produce fruits, whether it convicts the sinners, teaches the foolish, encourages the discouraged, and strengthens the believers. And all of them are positive fruits. Spiritual renewal comes through God's Word. Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11 are beautiful passages concerning the work of God's Word. And Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So when rain comes, it does not go up straight. You know, it sifts through into the soil, and so it waters the plants so that plants can grow. As a result, we can have harvest, we can have food to eat. Verse 11, "So likewise shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." If this is true, and you have received God's word by faith today, God's word must fulfill its mission in your soul, in your life, from today. It is because God's word cannot lie. It will not return to God in vain. It must work something. Work for something in your lives, in your souls, in your hearts, even today. If not, the problem is not with the power of God's word, but the problem is you and me. We know that the preaching at the same time, the preaching of Jesus caused him to be crucified. The preaching of Peter, of Paul caused him to be troubled by different groups of people and eventually martyred. The word of God agitates the minds of the unspiritual and backsliding to be upset and angry with the word and its preachers. The word of God cannot be silent in our souls because it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It either carves us to be a beautiful handwork of God, or it hurts us to bleed. Hearing God's word is a way to go to spiritual renewal. Are we listeners of God's word, or are we neglecting the sacred duty of knowing the Scriptures? Lastly, we need to strive to be sanctified by applying God's word to our lives. Listening alone is not good enough. Understanding is not good enough. If we understand the Scriptures and God's word, then our lives must be transformed. It is because God's word must have the power of transformation. It must change our lives so that we will become better and better people as a result. Good and better qualities will be born and sprung up and nurtured out of our character. Have we been changed as we serve and follow the Lord? Just think about it. I don't know when you were saved, but from the moment and until this time, have you grown up in character qualities? Has your life been transformed? Have you been sanctified? Peter's last will for the believers was their sanctified characters. Sanctified characters. If we have more of good characters in our midst, not good performers, not good talkers, not good players, but sanctified characters, how good our church will be. And we can go toward the ideal church on earth, I think. It was Peter's last will and last plea till he died that believers must grow into mature and spiritual characters through the applications of the scriptures to their lives. Therefore, my last question is this. In your mind, in your own measurement and judgment, what kind of character are you? Have you been improved in your character qualities? Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we are weak. Many flaws, character flaws, in fact, Lord. We are so grateful that we are commanded to supply all those character qualities to our character. Lord, it is our desire to see that it's going to happen to us. Help us to cherish the scriptures and help us to understand the scriptures so that we can understand our Savior Jesus even more. And we will be better people, better Christians, and better characters. Dear Lord, challenge us. Even help us to make up our minds that we are going to pursue a path of the growth in Christian character. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.